today as we come to the table.
If I think something about you guys, well, I think really that so-and-so's that way and so-and-so's that way. And you're like, well, no, I'm not. Well, I think you are. I don't care what you think. You're wrong. I'm not that way. Well, you think God's up there going, well, I don't believe in a God that way. Well, I don't think God would do this. He's like, have you ever just read my word to find out what I think? Have you gotten to know me to see whether you know? You know, all they're doing, they're making God. See, here's what God did. God said, I've made mankind in my image. And mankind said, no, I'm going to make you in mine. I'm going to make you in my image. I don't think you'd be that way. I think you'd be this way, because that's how I would be. And since I'm that way, I'm making you in my image.
People are going to think all kinds of things. Every single person is going to have their own set of opinions and beliefs. That includes making opinionated comments and decisions based on their interpretation of the Bible. Everyone thinks differently. That's a beautiful gift. But the Bible doesn't change based on what you want. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you to seek God and to read His Word so you can know the truth. Don't take what a pastor, a website, or even a friend says to heart as fact. Fact check against God's Word. The Bible hasn't and won't change. So base your truth on the faithful Word of God. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah chapter 41 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
I think God allowing me to learn better how to minister to them, He brought me to this place, and I've always marked these down, these chapters between 41 and 45 or so. You'll see it as we go through over and over and over, and I'll tell you when to underline them, and then Revelation chapter 1. You'll be ready for the Mormon and the Jehovah's Witness, not to win an argument, but maybe to win a heart. That's the goal, win a heart. The coastlands saw it and they feared. Now, so He talks about, there's who you were. There's where I brought you through Abraham, if it is Abraham, but either way, God's showing He established them. I am Jehovah. And then He shifts gears now and talks about how the people of the earth saw it. They saw Abraham, and rather than running to God, they ran to idols. Look what the peoples of the world did when they saw God raising up a nation. The coastlands saw it, that is me working, and they feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and they came. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his neighbor, be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. In other words, don't lose heart that these Israelis are doing this. We'll make our own gods too. Israel has their God. Well, we'll make a God, right? Think of the logic in that one. The craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He smooths with the hammer and inspired him who strikes with the anvil. So they're making these idols, saying, is it ready for soldering? Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. If your God can totter, you've got the wrong God. But that's what they're doing. And he's making the point here. This is what they're doing, trying to get these gods or whatever, creating their own gods. And by the way, guys, note this. I want you to realize this. We still make our own gods today. People still make their own gods. Now, there are some who literally make idols today. You'll see, you know, again, different religions that make idols. They have idols. So there's still idols around today. But a lot of Christians, or I should say, a lot of unbelievers that aren't involved in those religions that have the idols, they don't know they're making idols, but they are. Here's how, all an idol is when you make something, when you create your own God. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they say, well, I don't believe God's that way. I think God would never do this. And I think God's like this. You ever heard that? Listen for the sound of the anvil in the background. They're creating a God. He's this way. He looks tink, tink, tink. He's got this. And they're making a God while they're talking. You're like, you're just creating a God right now. Well, I don't believe He's that way. Well, and this is where you don't want to say this to them. If you do say it, you want to say it in the right way. But I can say it straightforward to you and my family. It doesn't matter what you think He's like. It doesn't change anything. He's who He is. And it doesn't matter if you think He would or wouldn't be that way. It makes no difference to Him. If I think something about you guys, well, I think really that so-and-so's that way and so-and-so's that way. You're like, well, no, I'm not. Well, I think you are. Well, I don't care what you think. You're wrong. I'm not that way. Well, you think God's up there going, well, I don't believe in a God that way. Well, I don't think God would do this. He's like, have you ever just read my word to find out what I think? Have you gotten to know me to see whether you know? You know, all they're doing, they're making God. See, here's what God did. God said, I've made mankind in my image. And mankind said, no, I'm going to make you in mine. I'm going to make you in my image. I don't think you'd be that way. I think you'd be this way, because that's how I would be. And since I'm that way, I'm making you in my image. But we can't make God in our image. God is God. He's unchanging. We can't make him what we want him to be. He's who he is. And so it doesn't matter what we think. He's God. And so that's idolatry. Anytime somebody's saying, I think God is this way, that's just modern day idolatry. It's a modern day idol that's being made in somebody's heart and mind. He says, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. And I used to read that and go, Lord, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. And I'd love to be a friend like Abraham was. I guess you need to live like Abraham to be a friend like Abraham was. First of all, that's kind of convicting for me. But then I realized I am his friend and so are you. What did he say to his disciples? If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, he said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Isn't that great? You truly are a friend of God. He says, but Abraham's my friend. You whom I've taken from the ends of the earth, that is when everybody saw the future, they'd be scattered. He's going to bring them all back to the land and called you from the farthest regions and said, you're my servant. I've chosen you and I've not cast you away. Again, those who say God is done with the Jew and God is done with Israel, nonsense. Go read Romans. Paul says, is God done with Israel? God forbid, he says. God's not done with Israel. He's got a whole plan for them in the last days. And you prophecy, you know, students in here, you all know that. He says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you, and there's a lot of people incensed against Israel today, are they not still? Again, it's spiritual. You wonder, why does everybody hate Israel so much? It's spiritual. Now, Israel's not perfect. They make a lot of mistakes. They do a lot of wrong things. I don't agree with everything the nation does, so I'm not blind. We're not. God doesn't say be blind and think that say that everything they do is good. No, they do a lot of bad things. But God said, love them, because they're chosen of me, and I'm going to restore them in the last days and pour out my spirit on them. So Satan goes, oh, yeah? Anything that God says he wants to do, Satan says, oh, yeah? You'll notice that. Just start recognizing it, right? And we see a lot of our issues today, you know? I made them male and female. Oh, yeah? Look at our culture today. A man's to marry a woman, a woman's to marry a man. Oh, yeah? Look at our culture today. Well, same thing here. I've chosen Israel. I love Israel. Oh, yeah? Right? God says, be fruitful and multiply. Oh, yeah? Have abortion. Don't have kids. You're overpopulating the earth, right? Everything God says, just notice the culture and your news, they're saying the exact opposite. Why? It's spiritual. This is a battle. It's just whatever God says, Satan goes, I'm going to go against that. I'm going to change. I want to go the other way. I'm not going to do that. It's rebellion. And so when you see the world saying today, God says in his word, I'm not through with Israel. Oh, yeah? Even in the church today. How often in the church today do you hear people say, well, God's through with Israel? Really? Is that God's spirit you're hearing? Or the enemy? Because God's word says, his spirit says he's not done. Now, that doesn't mean somebody's unsaved. I think there's a lot of true believers who are deceived on that issue. For whatever the reason, don't want to, again, get into that tonight, but I said, I'm not done with Israel. Fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But again, behold, you're incensed against me. You shall be ashamed and disgraced. In other words, those that are against Israel, they're going to be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. Everybody that's going against Israel, God's going to take them out. Look, again, you look historically. Everybody that's gone against Israel has gone under. It's so interesting today. I remember hearing you go to Israel, and you go and you look at all the ruins of everything that happened there. They show all the ruins or whatever, and then certain times you get to go and see, the Roman ruins. And remember, Rome's goal was to destroy the nation of Israel, to wipe them out, get rid of them. You know, Hadrian, again, in the 100s, hated the Jews so bad that he renamed the land of Israel Philistine or Philistine. That's where we get the word Palestine today. It comes from the word Philistine. Well, Philistine was the arch enemy, historically, the Romans thought, of the Jews. So he said, I'm going to take the land you love and I'm going to call it after your arch enemy. I'm going to call it Palestine or Palestinia or Philistine, Philistinia. That's where it comes from. And I love, you know, one pastor pointing out, so appropriate to me, I never thought about it. He said, you go to Israel and you see all these ruins, you hear about the Romans trying to destroy the Jews, going to wipe the Jews out. Hadrian's going to get rid of them. They're all going to be gone. And you see all these Roman ruins, and it's a Jewish tour guide showing you the Roman ruins. They're still there. and the Romans are gone. Isn't that something? God's people are not going to perish. God's always going to win. And so they'll be as nothing. Those who strive with you shall perish. They shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you shall be nothing as a non-existent thing. And once you get in the millennial kingdom, you never even remember them. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob. You men of Israel. You know, the guy's not being derogatory here. He's just showing them really, as a man, what we're like, as mankind. You know, the Lord prophetically in Psalm 22, he says, I'm a worm and not a man. You know, he's not calling himself a worm in a derogatory way. What he's saying is, in human form, I'm being treated that way. I'm being treated as though I'm nothing by those that are crucifying me and putting me to death on the cross. So it's not necessarily a derogatory term. It's just saying, compared to God, we're like worms. Mankind in human form and flesh, you know, we're nothing like God. And when I hear these guys again saying we can be like God and, you know, all we need is the right technology. It's the same lie from the garden. You can be like God, eat from the tree of knowledge. I mean, it's just like, he can't even come up with something new to try to trick us. It's like the same old repeat over and over, which I'm glad about. You know, the Bible says we know the wiles of the enemy. It doesn't change. He uses the same tactics, but the world doesn't know that, so they fall for it every time. We recognize it as believers, but he says, I realize that you're not a God. You're basically, compared to me, you're like a worm, you men of Israel, but I'll help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth, and you shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. In other words, your enemies are going to blow away like the chaff. You're going to defeat them. I'm going to give you strength and power. Your enemies will be at your feet. You're going to be ruling and reigning. Poor and the needy seek water, but there's none. Their tongues fell for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open the rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and dry land springs of water. Again, he's talking about the thousand-year reign, the millennial kingdom, when the earth is going to spring to life. And notice this. It's interesting. He says, I'll put rivers on the heights and springs in the valleys. Again, you don't think about rivers on the heights. You think about rivers in the valley, right? And maybe springs on the heights. But God says, I'm going to make everything so alive and so fresh. There'll be rivers on the mountaintop. You know, you're going to find rivers everywhere and springs and green and trees. So the millennial kingdom is going to be just amazing. I'll plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree. So instead of a desert, you have these beautiful trees, the myrtle and the olive tree, or the oil tree rather. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine, the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. So everyone will know that the Lord has done it and has restored it. And now he kind of shifts gears here in verse 21 and talks again about idols. He mentioned it earlier, how here's Israel, you're supposed to worship me. The world saw you worshiping me, and rather than many of them running to me, some did, but rather than many of them running to me, they ran to idols. And now he talks a little bit about, here's what idols are like. He says, how ridiculous is it, basically? Look, present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons. Bring all those idols out. Let's see what they can do, says the king of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. You know, they're so powerful, they're so almighty. Let's let these gods do something. Let them show the former things, what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them or declare to us things to come. In other words, if it's really a god, let it tell you the future. What's going to happen? See, God said, I'll tell you the future. It's in my word. And he's given us a lot about the future. He said, I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. These other gods can't. These other religions don't have prophecy. They can't tell you what's going to happen in the future. I see, again, these guys saying they can be God now because they've gotten to the technology or whatever. I'm thinking you might be able to do something technologically to make your mind work better or become stronger, or hook up with some kind of machine and do what I said. Tell me the future. Well, I can't do that. You're not a God. God's the one that knows the future. God's the one that does these things. You know, you're taking what God made and you're trying to improve on it. You're trying to use knowledge to do something with it. But God alone is God. You can't do that. And so he's saying, look, show me. You guys, you're trying to impress me. Bring your idols out. And it's almost like they set them in front of God and God's saying, okay, guys, come and show me what you got. Let's start over here. You, what's going to happen? Oh, no answer? How about you? What's going to happen? Oh, you're not talking either. Okay, how about you? You know, and he's kind of mocking the gods. Because they're dead. They're not even alive. They can't do anything. And he's saying, look, you need to look to me and not to these things. He says, show the things that are to come hereafter that we may know your gods. Yes, do good or evil that we may just be dismayed and see it all together. In other words, do something. Don't just sit there. You know, if you're supposed to be a God, then be a God. You'll make something happen, whatever the case might be, right? And I love seeing the Lord mock these false gods. It reminds me of, Elijah. They're on Mount Carmel, and he's kind of mocking their gods, you know. He's like, you're giving these gods all this attention, like they're so great or whatever. It's okay, whatever. And I love Elijah. He's kind of like, he's not answering. I don't know why. There's no fire coming down from heaven. Maybe your God's in the bathroom or something. Maybe he's, really that's kind of what it implies in the language. You know, well, wait, maybe he's in the porta potty. We'll stand there a minute longer. See when he finishes, maybe he'll come and do some miracle, you know, or whatever. And so he says, do something, anything that we may be dismayed and see it. Indeed, you are nothing. These gods are nothing. They're fake. And your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Somebody that turns to an idol or something like that, it's an abomination to God. Why? Because God alone is God. He says, now I've raised up. Now remember, first he said, I've raised one up from the east. And I believe there at the very beginning of the chapter that was talking about Abraham, as I said. Debatable, but that's what I believe. But notice here he says, now I've raised up one from the north. And I think this is talking about Cyrus. We'll see Cyrus later on. Remember, this king is going to come in, and he does pretty much what's described here. I mean, he was from the east, but also really the north, from the northern portion of Israel, or up toward the north from Israel, Assyria, or modern-day Syria. And he shall come from the rising of the sun. He shall call on my name, and he shall come against the princes as through mortar, as a potter treads clay. So he's saying, this guy, I'm going to give him power. He's going to defeat. He's the one. You know, you had Babylon. That was the world power. That was the first world kingdom. And then Cyrus came along, and he's the one that brought together the Medes and the Persians. He linked those guys up. And so then you had the Medo-Persian Empire that went for a while. Then you moved into Alexander the Great. Then you moved into Rome. And now we've had this big, long break where nobody's ruled the world, really, until we're going to see this revived Roman Empire in the last days. But when I do raise up this leader, this, I believe, Cyrus here, he says it's going to be like a potter treading clay. And that's interesting. When does a potter tread clay? Notice he says, who has declared from the beginning that we may know it? He says, your gods can't tell the future and the past, but I know the future and the past because I really am God. And I'm telling you, there's one that's treading the clay before he even comes around. Well, this was, 150 years before Cyrus came on the scene. He's going to name him by name here in just a little bit. Not tonight, but when we get further on, he names him by name. And as a matter of fact, it was the Jews that went to Cyrus and said, hey, you're in the Bible. And it so affected Cyrus, he's the one that said, you know what, you can rebuild your temple. My name, I'm in the Bible. You can rebuild your temple. Your God knew about me and all this. And it was so impressed him. But what's interesting about this, and it really struck me, I'd never noticed it before, he treads the clay. Potters don't tread clay. They put it with their hands and they work with their hands. What's it talking about? He describes it in the next verse. I declared from the beginning. That you may know it, that we may know. What is that? In other words, before the potter even gathered the clay out of the ground, when he was just, I was walking around mankind. Before the clay was even put in a place where I could make something, I knew even as mankind was walking around on it, I knew that would be Cyrus. I knew I'd be raising somebody up before he was even there. So this whole picture of God knowing things even as a potter before the clay is even gathered to be clay, when men are just walking around on it. Because I know from the beginning from the end. In former times that we may say he is righteous, surely there's no one who shows, surely there's no one who declares, surely there is no one who hears your words. Again, the first time that I said to Zion, look, there they are, and I will give Jerusalem one who brings good tidings. I knew you before you were ever, when you were just getting walked on the ground, before you ever formed as clay, before I ever made the dust, in other words, I knew you. And now I bring good tidings. I'll give good tidings to the one, to Jerusalem. For I looked, and there was no man. I looked among them, but there was no counselor. Who, when I asked of them, could answer a word? In other words, I had to do it. Man's not going to be able to do it. Indeed, they are all worthless. I mean, gods and man, really, in that sense. But the gods especially here, their works are nothing. They're molded images, and really speaking of man making his molded images. They are wind and confusion. Think about that. There's nothing to them. You try to grasp them, there's nothing there. And then when you do, and I'll tell you, when he says confusion, the Bible talks about God is not the author of confusion. I've found when I get around these religions that are kind of just like spiritual, but it's not God, it is so confusing. It's truly, if you've ever come out of that background or been around these guys, it is so confusing. I remember, and I joked about it, maybe with you guys before you've heard me say it, but all these bumper stickers, I hadn't talked about bumper stickers in a while. I used to, but I'd see all these bumper stickers in Santa Fe, they have these New Age people, and they're supposed to have these wise sayings. I wish I could think of a few of them for you. You read them and you think, and I know when they wrote it down, they're thinking, wow. And I read it and I go, what? What are you trying to say? It's like there's some kind of saying that makes no sense and an Indian looking off, I'm like, what? It's confusing. It doesn't make sense. You know, the earth or whatever, you know, whatever. Man was not made for the earth. Earth wasn't made for man. Man was made for the earth or whatever. Anyway, they have all these sayings. It's wind and confusion. It makes no sense. He's saying it's all nothing. And then next week, we'll get into 42 where he immediately, because I want to just jump the first verse. We'll recap it next week, but I'm not sure where he's going to. He's comparing the false gods to the Lord that's coming because John has announced him. And of course, this is their day, but also prophetic as we talked about. He says, behold, my servant whom I hold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. So he says, you're worshiping all these false gods, but I'm going to have my son. My son's coming. And my spirit's going to be upon him, and he's going to rule. So we'll get into that in chapter 42. We'll see prophecies about the Lord and all these things that God speaks about, how he's going to be working on the nation of Israel and future prophecy. But again, you know, aren't you glad that our God is real and we know him? And I grew up being religious, but I didn't know God. And I remember after I met the Lord, somebody said something to me. It was so true about my life, and you had the same thing happen to you. But I was sharing the Lord with somebody, and it was funny because they said, you talk to me like you know him. And it was cool, not just in the fact that they could tell that I knew the Lord, but it really struck a chord in my heart. It was as God spoke to me through that and said, you do know me. This is not just religion. This is not just going to church. We know each other. And when you really know the Lord, people know that. When you're around them, they can recognize there's something different about you. And people will tell you that. There's something different about you. I'm not sure what it is. You know God. And it's truly a privilege. And you see these people that worship themselves and their own gods they've made and those that maybe really have idols or whatever they're chasing, and they're so empty and they don't have any understanding. And so I'm so thankful to the Lord that we know him. What a blessing it is to know our God and for him to be our friend. And so go ahead and read, you know, the next few chapters. As you're reading through there, notice where he says, I alone am God, there is no other, I'm the first, I'm the last. Start marking those. We'll point them out as we get to them. Whether you use that for your, you know, testimony to Jehovah's Witness and Mormons or not, you'll have it there just for whatever the purposes are. It's a great thing just to note. But read a few chapters ahead, and then we'll cover it together when we get to it next week. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. And as we pray, again, just being thankful to the Lord for who he is, for what he's done. Lord, I thank you for chapter 41 and, again, just your confrontation to the nation there, reminding them, Lord, of who they were and where you brought them, showing them the difference between worshiping you and the gods of the world, the false idols, and the way people make you in their image rather than realizing they've been made in yours. And Lord, just the encouragement of your word tonight. Just the ministry of your word, God, and knowing that we can know you, that we're your friend, and we can know you intimately. It's a real relationship, Lord. I thank you that it's not religion. It's not just this thing we do. And the world doesn't understand it, God. They don't understand it. But it's so wonderful just to really know you.
You've been listening to Come to the Table, a ministry of Pastor Mark Kirk at Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark is continuing a verse-by-verse study of the book of Isaiah. While this book is full of warnings for the wicked kings of Israel and Judah, it also provides hope by describing the coming of a figure known as Emmanuel. This future ruler is said to come from the line of David and will make right all that has gone wrong in the nation of Israel. You and I know this Emmanuel as the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible teaches us that he's coming back soon to establish a new kingdom on this earth where there will be no more suffering, no more tears, and no more death. The pain and conflict of this world will melt away and be replaced by a new and glorious Jerusalem. Now, if you've recently accepted Jesus' gift of salvation, we'd love to get connected with you and help you get started on your journey of following Christ. You can give us a phone call at 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website at thewaymedia.net. Click on Come to the Table and then click on the Questions and Comments tab. On our website, you'll also find a link to the Way Media app, which is where you can listen to live programming on the go, or you can access past broadcasts from Pastor Mark. Well, we're running out of time for today. We hope that this study in the book of Isaiah has blessed you today. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.